Welcome to the Filled Up Cup podcast. We are a different kind of self-care resource, one that has nothing to do with bubble baths and face masks, and everything to do with rediscovering yourself. We bring you real reviews, honest experiences, and unfiltered opinions that will make you laugh, cry, and most importantly, leave you with a filled up cup.
Hello, and welcome to Filled Up Cup, the podcast. My name is Ashley Coe, and I am your host. I aim to have real conversations about mental health and self-care. Self-care has become this annoying buzzword lately that wants us to believe that bubble baths and solo trips to the grocery store are supposed to fill up our cup. While I do love me a scalding hot bubble bath, I truly believe that self-care is so much more than that. I don't believe that there's a one-fits-all mold of what self-care is. I feel like it's different for each individual and can vary day by day. I really hope the podcast and blog will be a place you tune in to experience real conversations that can be relatable. I also really hope that this will be a place to help destigmatize being able to say that you need help or that you're suffering, tackling insecurities, and be open about mental health struggles. I am not an expert or trained professional at all in any capacity. All my knowledge comes from living through an experience, so please take any advice or opinion I may share as just that. I am an almost 37-year-old single mother living in suburbia near Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I am Caucasian and straight. I try my best to be anti-racist, and I support the LGBTQ2S+ community. I am prone to anxiety, I drink way too much coffee, and easily get distracted. If I have an opinion, you will always see it written on my face. I do not shy away from speaking out and can be very stubborn. I'm a big fan of horror movies and bad reality TV. I have an irrational fear of the dentist. I also have two cats, Hero and Harden, who are much more willing to be photographed than my daughter, so you'll see them frequently on my Instagram. I have 8 tattoos and counting. I believe how I decorate my body helps not only express myself, but serve as a reminder of lived experiences, so I count them as part of my self-care practice. I have a psychic I see annually. I'm an orphan, which even after 10 years feels like a super weird title to use. I lost both of my parents unexpectedly. If you don't have a will, I highly recommend making one. I have had some really unhealthy relationships where I dated much older men, and really healthy relationships with men who are very kind and thoughtful, who remain close friends to this day. I don't believe that one man can tarnish the value of all other men, and I truly believe it's possible to heal from abuse. Just note that if the family court system has failed you, or you've had a relationship with an emotionally abusive narcissist with alcohol or drug issues, that I can completely relate. I credit my counselor for helping understand what role generational trauma can play into these choices and helping me heal from them. That being said, I've had some pretty interesting exes, and I will almost always win at the game whose ex had the worst mother. I would describe my worst one as being the personality twin of Eleanor Crisp from Kindergarten Cop, mixed with the incestual Gemma Taylor vibes from Sons of Anarchy. If you know, you know. My daughter is going to be 15 years old in 2022. We share very similar personalities, so I truly created a miniature version of myself to argue with. While my daughter was growing up, I was mainly a stay-at-home mom. I had the ability to volunteer at her school regularly. I attended every field trip and school assembly. I went to every dance class and watched every recital. I threw big birthdays, and we had big Halloween parties annually. Now that she is older, my role has switched to ATM and being a taxi. I am left to reintroduce myself to myself and figure out who I am, if not just a mom. I let the role become my whole existence for all of my 20s. Now that I'm almost 40, I feel like I'm ready to be a new version of myself, which I find very exciting and completely nerve-wracking. I'm letting myself daydream again about what the next chapter of my life could be, whether that's getting into a new relationship, traveling the world, moving to a new destination. The options kind of feel limitless at this point, and I don't remember the last time they felt like that. First, I have to get through the current phase, and for any parents with teens, this can be a really challenging season. They still need us more than ever, but really from a distance and more as a guide. I feel like they are less cute toddlers with extra emotions, curse words, and hormones. They warn you before you have children about the teething phase or the terrible twos, but they never really warn of the teen years, where they love you and hate you every other minute, and you constantly have to remind yourself to be patient and to not take their words personally, because teenagers are mean as fuck. Generally speaking, it takes so little for moms to get blamed, criticized, and judged, while it takes so little for dads to be praised as good. I am grateful that my daughter and I are very close. While I'm not naive enough to believe that she tells me everything that goes on in her life, I do believe that I get about 75 to 80% of what's going on, depending on the day. I've created the space that she knows that if she gets herself in a bad situation, and it's likely at some point that she will, that she can call and have me come pick her up, and I won't be mad. I recommend having tough conversations with your kids, and often you'll need to be the one to initiate them. I let her ask me questions about topics I don't necessarily want to give her the answers about, but try to do so in the most honest and informative way possible without making it awkward. It brings me a huge amount of peace of mind that she knows that she can come to me with anything. It's also hard watching your teen make mistakes and not being able to save them from the mistakes that you made, and not really being able to do anything to help them avoid it. The only way through is through it, unfortunately. For myself, I'm definitely appreciative that my teen years were way before the social media generation. Not only do they have to worry about being judged by their friends in real life, but there's also worrying about succeeding on the internet as well. I think it's caused such a disconnect between kids today and maybe prevented them from creating real deep relationships that our generation had through boredom and having to have those long, awkward conversations on the phone. Raising a teenage girl has definitely showed me how very little sexism within our school system has changed since I was in high school. The fact that school dress codes still exist and are pretty much the exact same as they were 20 years ago annoys me beyond belief. I think it promotes rape culture to all students. I think that they need to be reviewed and updated. I've had grown men within the school make more inappropriate conversations about her clothing, whether it be too tight or too loose, than any of her peers. To ban crop tops when you can barely enter a store and find a non-crop top shirt that is also considered fashionable is such a challenge. In a time where it's almost impossible to find a kid 100% comfortable in their own skin, they should be given the autonomy to express themselves in whatever they feel comfortable in. We need to teach our children that regardless of their gender, their clothing doesn't label who they are as a person or give you a right to treat them a certain way because of it. Any teenager with access to the internet has access to porn. Spaghetti straps and belly buttons are not as risque as they may have been previously, and I really don't think they were ever that risque to begin with. My grandmother has lived with my daughter and I for the last 11 years and will most likely live with us for the rest of her life. I am beyond grateful for her and the help she has provided when my daughter was growing up. I've had the privilege of having her, an early childhood educator, as my free childcare provider. I do wish sometimes that we could make her 30 years younger so that she could be with us for longer. Although living with a senior has its challenges as well. The last few years, she has had some non-COVID-related health issues, and it has been incredibly eye-opening at how many things are not covered under medical, and how expensive some essentials can be. She's experienced so much ageism within our medical system, and it has been incredibly terrifying at how much the short staffing within our hospitals is causing potential fatal mistakes. We had a doctor repeatedly give her medication that she was allergic to that caused her to get violently sick after a surgery in the hospital, and then that same doctor gave her a prescription of the same medication to take home. Thankfully, the pharmacist caught it prior to filling. We could have lost her, and with how things are in our climate and the limited access caregivers have, it's extremely difficult to advocate for our loved ones that may not be in a position to advocate for themselves. I am a big supporter for boundaries and cutting ties with people that just don't respect them. I completely relate to the quote, "I would rather adjust my life to your absence than adjust my boundaries to accommodate your disrespect." I have often been criticized for this, but really value my time and energy. I know how short life can be, and I think that you should tell the people you love that you love them openly and regularly. I'm a big supporter of therapy and counseling. I think it's beyond unfair that this can be an expensive option and isn't readily available for all. I feel like getting help shouldn't be embarrassing or stigmatized or unaffordable. And I truly wish that instead of the war on drugs, that our government officials would have put that money into mental health funding. I have the type of family that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. So I'm truly lucky to have friends that have become family. I have known my best friend since high school, but we really weren't super close until we were in our 20s. We hadn't seen each other in years, and she ran into me when I was pregnant working in a restaurant. She said something super rude about my weight, and the look on my face made her terrified to eat her food, even though I swear to this day I didn't do anything to it. And then she got pregnant too, and we've pretty much been inseparable ever since. Now, we are the exact opposite of each other in every way, which is probably why our friendship works so well. I am stubborn and outspoken, and she has a big heart and quick to forgive. I could debate about politics for hours, and she couldn't even care less who our officials are. I am very type A, and she couldn't be more go with the flow if she tried. We have never tried to change each other's mind about something, and have never been competitive or had to be the right one in the relationship. We try to see each other's point of view and support each other no matter what. We even got matching best friend tattoos for my 36th birthday last year. I would be completely lost without her, her husband, and our kids. Female friendships can be so challenging, but are very rewarding and completely essential in my opinion. I think there's so much societal pressure to see women as competition or a threat, and really that's such bullshit. One of my favorite self-care practices is to travel. I was extremely fortunate as a child to be taken to so many destinations within North America. I've even traveled alone to Europe and have had the opportunity to go on many big family trips with my daughter in North America as well. One of my favorite vacations was a spontaneous road trip to Disneyland when she was 3. I believe that the more places we see, the more our opinions of the world and humanity changes, usually for the better. I think exploring new places can change us in ways that no other experience can. Now, that being said, I do believe that the more we know, the better we should do. And just because we have the desire to go somewhere doesn't mean we have the right to go there. There are so many places that having tourists colonize it have left resources depleted for the people that actually live there. I wouldn't want my vacation to mean that someone else potentially doesn't have access to long-term drinking water, or if an experience was so dangerous that a guide was required and had the potential to lose their lives just for me to have the experience, I couldn't imagine. The internet in some ways and the ability to access so many travel documentaries has given us the ability to visit some of these places that might not be beneficial for us to actually go there to visit. And while it wouldn't give us the full experience, it gives us a moment to peek of what it is like there. Obviously, with our current global health crisis, it's eliminated the option to travel as freely as we may. But I do look forward to being able to explore again sooner than later. I have fantasies of selling everything I own, buying one of those Italian villas that they advertise for being less expensive than you could rent a parking stall annually for here in Vancouver. I really hope that you enjoyed getting to know me a little bit better, and I look forward to having more conversations with you and sharing this space together. New podcast episodes will drop on Wednesdays. I can be found on Instagram at filledupcup_ or at www.filleduppcup.com. See you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us today for this episode of the Filled Up Cup podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe and leave a review if you like what you hear. You can also connect with us at filleduppcup.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.